joining us live in the studio, the Crows' ninth senior coach, Bix. How's that? And hopefully a premiership one, Don Pike. Don, welcome.
Thanks, Ralph. Yeah, good to be here.
Just on that, is there any pressure of expectation? 1998 was a long time ago. A long time ago.
No, well, there's always expectation in this game. And, you know, reality for us is, you know, we made the finals last year. We won a final. So we've got to keep improving to push further and deeper into that finals category.
Now, you had a pretty whirlwind period. Coached in the grand final, then you found out you were the new Crows coach. Has it slowed down at all? Or has it been the minute you got announced that's just been Crows from then on?
Oh, it's been pretty much Crows from then on. I think I grabbed 2 to 3 days with the wife down south of Perth for a bit of a rest. And as you said, I needed an operation to get the phone off my ear by the end of that. So, no, it's been, as I expected, it's always going to be pretty full on when you take a role like this. And it's important to get over, meet the people, meet our coaches and meet our players. So I've been able to meet pretty much every of the players face-to-face, which has been good given it's their off-season. But it's been a busy time in getting organised.
And so in terms of, you made the final announcement with the coaches, James Podzielli, last week. You spent a fair bit of time trying to work out the exact way you're going to play this year?
Oh, look, we've had some discussions. It's probably only 2 weeks ago we managed to get all our coaches together. Mm. They, you know, as it is at the end of the season, they'd earned a break and they needed a break as well. So with that and then bringing James and Paul Thomas on board, we've probably only all been in the same room for a couple of days. Mm. David Teague's off in London doing some professional development stuff at the moment. So, we've had a few days together and we've certainly discussed how we're going to play and how we're going to coach that. So we're now building into our pre-season.
Is that a consensus or is that you going in there saying this is how we're going to play?
Oh, it's probably me bringing the ideas how I want us to play with the discussion with the coaches who, you know, have dealt with the players and worked with the players. And look, it's fair to say, as I said, I think when I got appointed, it's an interesting situation because you're taking over a side that's made the finals and that doesn't happen that often. So we've got a side that's actually a lot of things that we're doing have been really effective and work. Mm. So it's a challenge to really work out, let's keep those things and keep adding and building to improve, as well as then putting my own slant and direction on the side and where we're going. Mm.
Can you share some of that game style or your footy philosophy? What's the picture in your head? What are we going to see? What do you hope we see?
Yeah, well, look, it's early days, so it's tough to say because, you know, what I hope we'll see will be, I want to get the players back. I'm now itching to get them back on deck. They've had a pretty extensive break. So, you know, as I said at the time of appointment, I want us to be efficient in all areas, which is, you know, the contest, efficient when, you know, we're defending the ball and efficient when we've got the ball. I think these days sides are too good at shutting you down if you're only good in one component. So I want us to be good at everything. The challenge is how we coach that and how we can build that into the program.
What's consumed the most of your time to date?
It's probably been mostly getting in touch with the players and the coaches and getting meeting them and starting to build some relationships with those guys. It doesn't happen overnight, but you know, even just spending 20 or 30 minutes with each player, just talking to them about where they're at, where they were born, where they grew up, the brothers and sisters, those sorts of things are important to actually know the history of people, to know, you know, how they see the world and you know, how they've sort of viewed their journey to date and where they see they're at. So having those discussions, there's been some long days and they're good days though because you need to go and cover those bases.
Are you happy with the list you've got? You know, you've got some additions through the trade period. You've got the draft coming up. Are you comfortable?
Yeah, look, we are. We're well positioned through, as you said, the trade period. We brought in some good high-end talent in Kirtley Hampton, Paul Seedsman, Dean Gore and
Troy Menzel,
who all come in with some AFL experience, having been on lists before, but all come in with some real talent, which we've got some things to work with there. And then we've got pick 9 and 13. So the list is in good shape. Again, coming in fresh, I don't know the list inside out, so it's probably too early to tell. But looking at the playing list, looking at their performances last year, there's certainly a lot to work with there, which is great.
Yeah, just on that, do you sit down and do you watch much vision of what they did last year, or do you say, no, look, that's last year, what I'm going to do is forward, so we'll just start with a clean slate?
Oh, I probably looked at a reasonable bit of vision, but not a lot. Yep. And I'm also mindful of a player who's in the situation with a new coach coming on board. They want to be able to present their best foot, you know, and without looking backwards, trying to work out what are their strengths or their weaknesses. So again, that's part of the discussion you have with the players and get a feel for them, so they understand where they're at and you know what they need to improve and what they need to work on, as well as the areas that they're really strong, and that's what they need to bring to the side. So, look, it'll be a journey of discovery for me as well, but it gives the players a nice clean sheet to start with.
Describe yourself as a coach then for us. We don't know anything about you, Don.
Yeah, as a coach, look, I probably will be focused pretty heavily on how we're organised and structured around the ground. I think it's important that we play in a way which, you know, we're very predictable to each other.
But not robotic.
Not robotic, but predictable. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we're going to have team views and philosophies that have got to be shared by everyone, and so we're capable of actually executing. There's so much going on these days that if it's left just to individual talent, you may or may not get a result. So I want us to play in a sort of systematic way, which still has freedom within there for guys to play to their strengths. I think we're going to encourage guys to, as I said, play to their strengths and play together. And you know, fortunate to have been part of some successful teams. And the one thing that stands out to me in those teams is a real bond of mateship, and where guys are actually prepared to play. And you would have experienced this, Bix. You look back on the sides you played in, there's a selflessness that goes with playing successful team footy. And so, you know, we need to engender that sort of culture.
So when we look at you, you're going to be more like Freo or more like West Coast or more like Hawthorn or the Crows way, your way?
Well, I think we'll end up being the Crows way. I think that's what happens. I mean, you bring a whole range of ideas from things you've worked with, things you've seen work against you, coaches you've been part of in the journey. So you tend to gather all this information, and ultimately you then put it in front of a group which is individual and unique in itself. So I think what will happen is the Crows way will sort of evolve from that with this playing group.
Your journey to senior coaching has been different to most, hasn't it? You've been involved and you've stepped away. You've been at board level. You've been a mentor to coaches, and now you've found yourself there. Do you think that that broader experience is going to be a plus?
Well, I hope so. Mm. Yeah, certainly. You know, it's one of the things which, you know, I've always, since probably the day I could almost walk, I always remember being involved in footy. So I've got a long history with footy, and I've been passionate about footy from that time. But I've been fortunate in life to experience a lot of other things as well. And I think they round you out as an individual and give you different views on situations and so forth. So some of my experience in business is equally applicable to sport. It's actually probably easier to apply to sport because you've got engaged individuals who are passionate about what they do, are driven by what they do, whereas in business it can be a bit more of a 9-to-5. So working with, you know, which is one of my interests in getting back into footy a few years ago, was to work with people who are truly wanting to be as good as they can be, and they're prepared to do whatever it takes to get themselves to be the players they want to be.
Don Pike, our guest in the studio, Crows new coach. I think a lot of Crows are saying, we had a lot of texts and emails wanting to ask this. One soldier down, Dangerfield, one soldier in, they're all hopeful that'll be Brad Crouch.
Yeah, look, well,
I think you'd be hopeful too.
Oh, look, we would be. And again, I haven't coached Brad, but from what I understand, he's a talented player who hasn't had a great run at it. And this is not to put or take any pressure or put any pressure on Brad, but losing Patrick Dangerfield is not like you're going to replace him with one player.
No.
We're fortunate, as I said, through the trade, we're going to bring in some good high-end talent. We're hopeful in the draft to, again, bring in some more. So, and again, from a system viewpoint, I don't want to create a system that's relying on one player. So hopefully Brad can get himself in fit and healthy and step in and play a role for us, but he'll be part of a midfield which is going to rely not on one guy, it's going to rely on the whole group of them, maybe 8 to 10.
Did you have much of a say in getting the Seedsman, Menzel, Gore or Hampton over?
Not really. No, probably by the time I came...
Talk Seedsman, are you underselling that?
No, I had a chat with Seedsman. Okay. Again, it was good to be able to eyeball him and have a chat with him as to what he was thinking and where he was at with his football. And he, like the other boys, also spoke to Troy Menzel, but they come in with some experience at another club. They come in with some learnings from another club, and they come here with a fresh start. So really, from my viewpoint, it's like, righto, what have you got? Let's go. What have you learnt, and how can you apply it here to be maybe a more consistent or improved player in under our umbrella?
Just back to the philosophy you talked about, where it's not about one player, it's about 8 or 10. Was that, I guess, confirmed last year at West Coast when, you know, you lost your best and fairest before the start of the year, you dropped another defender, and it was just different blokes just had to come in, step up, and often they were undersized or whatever, but they were still able to get the job done. So did that consolidate that thought in your head?
Yeah, look, and I've probably been down that path for a while, but it certainly, again, was reiterated what my feeling was that, you know, the game doesn't allow you these days to dictate who's available and who's not. I mean, who's in, who's injured, who's out, that sort of thing, which you rely then upon a system or a style of play that can cater for anyone to step in and play their role. So from an education viewpoint and from a learning environment, we've got to make sure that we've got depth in each of those positions and we've got capacity to fill players in. If we can't, then we go back to just relying on our stars. And if our stars aren't fit or aren't playing well, then where does that leave us? And I don't want to be in that position. I want us to be able to be flexible enough to be able to backfill players in or change the mix of our side as we need to.
Right now, you've got a top eight list. Have you got a top four list?
Don't know is the query.
Surely you'd know.
I haven't seen the players yet, Rowie. I haven't actually laid eyes on them in the flesh, in training and ready to go. So
you know who they are. I'll name them. Betts, Walker, Jacobs, Talia.
I'll say the
following. Because I think a lot of people think they're a top eight, a top four. They want to see that natural progression.
Well, we'd like to think we continue to improve. Mm. Where that leads us, I don't know. I'm not going to certainly sit here now, having not had one training session with the group, and make any predictions in terms of where we'll finish.
Yeah, but you know the players.
Well, I know the players. I know their capability. Mm. The gaps for me are the things you don't know coming in terms of how we play, maybe how we defend, our speed on transition, how that all looks. And those things will only evolve out of training. So, look. I'm not going to make any predictions. All I want us to do is improve. There's some areas we've identified as a coaching group we think we can improve, which will help us. And if we do that, and we do it well, and we do it together, then I'm confident we can certainly make some steps.
Can you share some of them with us?
No, I'm not. Not at the
well.
Point,
okay,
this
let
point.
Me do it this way. The forge. You happy with that forge structure? Surely. Look at the talent in there.
Look, we've got some talent there. Forwards. Look, we could go through each area, Rowie. I probably don't really want to at this point.
You happy with the defenders? Have you got enough?
Enough midfielders? How are we going in the rough? How's
midfield?
It all looking?
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Do something.
Well, we're going to do something. Well, yeah. As I said, I'd like to do something, but I've been in the job for just over a month and. As I said, we don't start training for another 2 weeks. And we've got a short pre-season. So the reality for us is we need to hit the ground running and be making sure we use every minute wisely in the lead up to the season.
I do like that understated. I do. No pressure there. He's just eyeballed me.
Under promise, over deliver.
I do like that, Vix. That's a bit like you.
Yeah, Don, you just mentioned that. The boys come back in 2 weeks. Literally got 3 weeks before Christmas. You probably got 3 sessions a week. So you're talking about 9 sessions before Christmas to actually teach footy. That's not a lot if you're a new coach trying to introduce new structures and new models.
No, it's a challenge, and it's one which we've discussed as a coaching group. I mean, I've said to them a number of times, I said, the challenge for us is to go fast and slow all at the same time. Because, as you're aware, from a playing viewpoint, you know, they're coming back, getting going again, getting kicked in with the legs and being back to running and playing footy. So we've just got to monitor how quickly we build, and we've got to monitor how quickly we introduce the new information. Otherwise, we can just overwhelm them, and then we'll get a bit lost. So, at times, as much as I'm itching to go and I'm burning to get the players and going, probably when they do get there, it'll be like, right, now we've just got to ease our way into it and try and make sure we get continuity in training, we get some durability built into the players so we don't suffer injuries, which will set us back. And we use that 10 weeks of time leading into NAB 1 really wisely to make the improvements that we focus on.
We've got Don Pike in the studio. We're blessed to have him. First chat since he's been appointed. Bix, we had David Noble, and a number of times he used these words, no time. So I'd ask him a question. No, we've got no time for that. So no time before Christmas. You've got no time to plan a camp, so there'll be no camp. We asked about train-on players. There's no time. Do you feel like there's no time? Are you a bit time poor?
Oh, look, there's no doubt with the late start to last season because of the Cricket World Cup, was pushed the season back a week. Yep. The normal start now brings the season forward a week, and having lost a bit of time at the end of the season through, you know, the success of the team, which made the second week of the finals, I wouldn't say there's no time. I'd say we've got a restricted amount of time, and that's why I said, you know, our challenge is to really make sure we use it wisely, and we don't get caught chasing tiny marginal gains. We've got to really spend our time and get bang for our buck in terms of where we can get the improvements.
Darren Glass, what's his role?
Darren's headed off to work with Boston Consulting, so he's staying in Perth.
Oh, okay.
And as I know, he's going to be engaged in working full time, using his MBA degree.
Well done. And so, who are you going to replace him? He was the
leadership consultancy, I think.
From a leadership viewpoint, I'll probably work with the leaders pretty closely this year and sort of build that relationship with those guys. And probably on a needs basis, we'll see if we can source some people from outside who can engage with our leaders and help build their leadership skills and challenge their thoughts around leadership.
So of all the assistants that you interviewed, and look, J-Pod's going to be fantastic, but did you lose your man? Did you not get your man? Were there a couple of irons in the fire that you wished had a maybe come out and fallen your way?
Well, that was one of probably the difficulties being appointed as late as I was. So one of the benefits, and I appreciate that, the Crows were able to leave me to fulfil my duties at West Coast before we spoke, but one of the downsides of that is that by the time we got appointed, there was a lot of the chairs were already filled in some respects. But there wasn't as if there was my man out there. We were just looking for a guy who could come in and really add to our coaching group. And we found that in James Podziadler.
Who was the bloke we didn't know from St Kilda?
Simon McPhee, I think.
Simon McPhee. What happened to Simon McPhee?
Simon McPhee.
No one knew Simon McPhee.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not a good coach.
No, once we studied him, we all liked Simon McPhee.
Correct. Well, Simon, I'd like Simon McPhee. He's a guy I did some work with at Claremont.
We actually wanted Simon McPhee in the
Simon
end.
McPhee in the end, yeah. So, look, the other challenge you've got, obviously, is for especially for younger coaches with young kids is... Yeah, the removal of them from their environment and moving them somewhere else is something that has to be discussed. So, I mean, Simon's case, we had a good chat with him, and unfortunately, from a family viewpoint, he couldn't quite see it working. So, we move on.
Do you have a coaching mentor? You have people you speak to?
Yeah, I've got a couple of probably some friends of mine that give me some advice from time to time, and we might get them over to have a bit of a look and see whether I'm still the same bloke I was when I started. Or
share,
and obviously
those names.
Alan Stewart is at the club, and I'm sure he'll be a really good resource for me in terms of a guy who's been around the traps a fair while and has got a nice, firm and straightforward view on how things are going.
Now, we'll have to take a photo of Pikey as well, just see if the hair stays the same colour or doesn't fall out. That's generally what happens with the coaches.
Well, I think I'm more risk of losing it than I am of it going grey, but I did say to Adam Simpson, I said to Simo, I noticed we announced recently that Just For Men had come on board at Adelaide Crows, and I sent it off to Simo. I said, mate, if you need any product, let me know.
Oh, please.
Because he went grey pretty quickly when he got in the chair, so we'll see how we go.
I saw Matty Clark on the weekend. He's getting a little bit silver as well.
Yeah, well, time waits for no man, Bix. That's
why Bix is sitting here, but I think I'm making him go silver. The man for a crisis, we all love him, Neil Craig. You were with him back in the day. What's changed since then? Did you walk back into the Crows and go, okay, much changed?
Oh, a lot's changed. Yeah, I mean, it's 10 years, I guess, it's changed. And probably the one thing that's changed, there's still a few of the players there when I was there. So still Richie Douglas and Tomo and VB who were there when I was coaching. And young Tex, he was there as a 16-year-old skinny kid from Broken Hill with a rat's tail. And but he's changed a fair bit on the way through. And a few of the other guys in Bodie, Bird and Clarkie are now on the coaching side of things. But the club's evolved as all clubs do. The facility there is fantastic in terms of the addition of the shed and then upstairs for training indoor. We're up there today doing some drills in preparation for the start of the year. And so got a really good facility. I've been really impressed with the people and the players. And so that gives you a really solid base to work with.
Now, just a quick one. You mentioned Adam Simpson and you sat next to him. He's a very cool, calm, collected guy. You've been coached by Mick Malthouse. He can be a bit more animated. What sort of personality are we expecting from you in the coach's box?
I think we're going to find out, Vic. You would know.
What would you hope?
I would hope that I'd be a guy who'd be, certainly engaged in the game and passionate about the game, but be able to restrain myself to the point where, the reality from a coaching viewpoint is what we see on the ground is sort of reflects us. Ultimately, it's not about me as the coach. It's about the players, and I see us as coaches as really guys who are there to help as best we can. Let the players individually be as good as they can be, and collectively achieve what they want to achieve. And if we can do that, and we can educate them along the way that they have ownership of what they want to do, then that's what sort of success looks like for me.
Have you settled in? You found a house?
Yes, we found a house. We're moving over in December, which is good. The wife's coming over. My two daughters, who are a little bit older, are at university age, so they'll be staying in Perth and completing their studies over there. So,
do you think it'll be hard for you, your two babies?
Yeah, well they're not babies anymore. They're 18 and 20 now.
Well, hang on. Well, my daughter's 21. I still call her a baby. My other daughter's 18. They're still your babies.
Oh, they are. And look, it's even the last month where I've been back and forth, mainly here most of the time. Yeah, it's difficult, but that was the other thing from my viewpoint was better now they're 18 and 20 than when they were 8 and 10.
They got the house keys, have they? They're looking after the place?
Well, that's a bit of a challenge back there, is that...
Toga party.
Not sure exactly what's going on, but it's the boyfriends are now on the scene, so it's all changed. Time moves on.
Oh, I don't like the boyfriends. Double barrel up each nostril.
Boyfriends are all right. It's a natural part of getting older.
You were 17 once, Rowie.
Yeah, that's right. And I was a gentleman. Why are you looking at me like that, Bix? Well, because... God, you don't even know me.
I'm not suggesting you weren't. I'm hopeful that my daughters will have picked someone who would be a gentleman as well. You know,
why are you, Pike's also smart? I play with your brother Jimmy. He's a physio. Yeah. You're a professor.
I'm a professor.
Well, pretty much.
No. My father was a professor.
Well, that's what I mean.
He was a professor, yeah.
Nice brainy people. Now, what? More importantly, what golf club are you joining? Because we know you're off scratch.
Yes, oh, that's been documented, I believe. Yeah.
Well, is it true?
It is at the moment, yeah.
You know, I played Craig Perry once.
Did you? How'd you go?
I came 117. He won the golf. I'll take you on one day.
I'll tell you, we'll have a game. I'm sure you've got...
Nah, you'll smoke me if you're off scratch.
Well, yeah, that's the beauty of golf, is it's all handicap-based, so it doesn't matter what you're playing off, you can have a good game.
It'll be 18 months before your head pops up, though.
Yeah, that's right. I don't imagine I'm playing a lot of golf.
Raw Glenelg, Raw Cooyonga, Raw Adelaide, or Raw Grange?
We
have the four best courses in Australia.
Beautiful courses here. My wife and I will play at Cooyonga because that's reciprocal to where we were members at in Perth at Cottesloe.
Oh, good.
So it's a beautiful track down there. And look, I think I've probably a chance to sneak 9 holes in every now and then, but I wouldn't imagine I'll be locked in on the Saturday morning trying to nut it around and make a score.
You must be a ripping fella. You play golf with your wife. Not many of us can do that.
Yeah. No, she's
mine turns into UFC 129.
The thing with playing golf with your wife is you can only provide so much information to her. It's not like the feedback is not like playing with your mates. You've actually just got to limit the amount of info you give her.
Is it like playing with the president? You got to let her win.
No, that's a good one.
Hey, Pikey, welcome aboard. Thanks for giving up your time. Those shoes are comfortably under the seat. Make sure you have a break, have a hit of golf, eat well. Get some of that. What's that product again you got to use? What the new
Just sponsor? For men.
Just for men.
Just for men. Keep myself looking sharp. You don't want to see me be sort of in the corner there, just sort of like slumped over and tired and can't get going.
Do not want to see that. No, 1998 was a long time ago, so we're very hopeful.
Well, we'll see how we go. As I said, I'm really looking forward to getting the players back on deck. Once we do, and we can start training. And from what I'm gathering, talking to them, they've had a nice long break and they're ready to go as well. So fingers crossed we're in good shape and we can get amongst it.
Well, Don, I think everyone is looking forward to not just the players getting back, they're looking forward to getting to know you as well. And I'm sure you'll be getting to know lots of the support as well. So it should be hopefully a mutually beneficial relationship for both the supporters
and
yourself.
Well, that's the idea. Yeah,
that is the idea. So we hope
it goes
well. I
wanted a bit better than mutually. I want a bit of love.
And we will catch up with you infrequently, no doubt, throughout the year.
Thanks, guys.
Well done. Don Pike, our guest.